it's worth it to be the villain, to be the one who kind of goes through the being ousted. If it's going to save your sanity in the process, it's worth it. First of all, thank you so much for all your comments and your shares on the last episode, which was like kind of our first episode in this like new revised season where we've got our video, we've got audio and all that good stuff. So yeah, thanks for your comments and just all your encouragement. And yeah, just keep it coming. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok and Instagram. I made a new social platform or social like page for this podcast specifically. So it's at Take What You Need Podcast. And yeah, I just can't wait to see how we grow. So let's get into it straight away. I'm gonna ask you if you remember this phrase, which you probably have if you spent like 5 minutes on the internet, and it goes, "I got married in Italy. Who performed at my wedding? Excuse the terrible American accent." And for those of you who probably got it right, I feel like people who listen to this podcast probably know where that's from. That is from one of the many viral clips on the Kardashians where Kourtney and Kim are basically going back and forth on something or the other. And in this case, it's about like copying and weddings and collaboration with like Dolce and Gabbana and just all that stuff. And you might be wondering, what has all of this got to actually do with this particular episode or this podcast in general? And we're going to get into it. So one of the things that has been on my mind for months, because I've seen it crop up at multiple points this year, and I guess for me, it wasn't really a personal issue that I faced in my own life. So when I started to see these trends, I thought, oh my gosh, like this is a thing. And it was sibling rivalry and the tensions that come up between siblings throughout their lives. Now, I'm definitely not someone who's like, oh, there's a big issue between so and so siblings in media and they hate each other, because I also understand I have siblings myself. Like, I get it, like siblings fight, that's not groundbreaking. I think what makes it challenging is seeing it to the extent that we see it. We see things that people say to each other that normally we don't hear on TV. We don't see immortalized on social media. We don't see it reposted thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of time on social media. Like, that's not a normal thing. And anyway, so that theme started to come up to me a lot, especially like, as I said, in media. And I thought, this is actually like a thing, or is this a thing? And it just really started to kind of like open my mind and make me ask a lot of questions. So let's just think of a couple of famous examples of like sibling rivalries and tension, right? One of the things that anyone who's kind of like my age, millennial, and probably like Gen Z remembers is Lion King. You've got Scar and Mufasa. You've also got, like, going biblically, you've got Cain and Abel. You've got in Succession this year, which I've touched on the Succession episode, you've got all of the Roy siblings at various different points, and there's four of them. Sometimes it's like two against one, it's three against one, it's individuals. You've got that whole dynamic. You've also got that in business as well, where the founders of Adidas and Puma are brothers that had a rivalry. That's how it started. There's so many examples. You can probably maybe even think of like maybe your parents or aunties and uncles or family friends where you've heard that there's been like tensions that have risen and lasted maybe a little bit too long in siblings. And finally, you also have it in one of my favorite shows, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We've seen it for 10 years, or probably more than 10 years now, worth of content, worth of footage between the Richards sisters. In different ways, you've got Kyle in the example that I'm gonna like kind of dig into in a bit of depth in this episode. You've got Kyle and her sister Kathy Hilton. It feels like it's everywhere. And when this theme started to come up for me, I texted a couple of my friends really frantically who also have multiple siblings. And I was like, is this a thing? Like, have you experienced this? Is it normal? Is it something that is gonna happen to me? Like, obviously, me and my sisters, like, we fight and things, but the extent to which people have gone have really made me ask questions. It's not made me judge anyone. It's just made me think like, oh, okay, is this something that I need to take maybe a bit more seriously than I've ever taken it before? So in this week's episode, I feel like there's a lot that we can probably learn, whether you have siblings or not, whether you watch reality TV or not. Please hang in there, because as I always say, in the surface things, especially when it comes to media tends to give us an opportunity for reflection. So even if someone is going through something that we haven't directly gone through in our own lives, it holds up a mirror for us to kind of reflect, analyze, do the work, search, and think about like, okay, what does this mean, if anything, for me? Because also not everything mean something, but as you guys know me, a lot of things do. And especially when it comes to that form of reality TV, like docu-series style, because as much as people say, you know, it's produced and that they set up fake scenarios, which they definitely do, if you're on it for that long, you can't fake 10 years of your life. You can't cover up for things for so long consistently. And actually, when we get into Kyle's current state of being and where she's at in her life, you'll actually see that years and years of covering up, it all comes out somewhere. And that's kind of what I wanted to explore today. And how do we, what does it mean? Can it ever be good? Can it ever be beneficial? Can it be transformative? How do we prevent crossing lines that we would rather they didn't cross? Saying things that we'd rather were not said, because you can never really take those back. So yeah, get ready. I feel like we're going to have a little anthropology class. That's how I tend to look at the docu-reality that I watch. And we're going to get a little insight into tendencies associated with the human condition. We're going to get into the layers that sometimes come with different people's upbringings. And we all have things that we're carrying. So it's never a judgment. Like I said, it's actually a mirror, or it's an opportunity for reflection and analysis on where you're at in your own life and what to avoid, maybe what to sort out, what to do more of, what to do less of. I feel like if I was to sum this up in one sentence, it would be about exploring self-determination. It'll be about healing. It'll be about independence through these different kind of media like formats. So yeah, let's get into it. Let's start back with the example that I gave. Let's start with Kim and Courtney. And I don't think I can do this justice because there's so much to say, but I'm just going to take the latest kind of snapshots and give you a quick recap if you've never watched or you don't really have much context. And I'm sure that people will probably comment and be like, you missed this bit out, but there's so much, right? So basically, where we are at right now in this particular season of The Kardashians is basically an overhang of various other things. And for me, it all started when Courtney really wanted to like start going to church and film less and do all this stuff. And this narrative started to emerge that she doesn't want to work and she's not as hardworking as them. And she's, you know, been brainwashed by her therapist and all this stuff. And you start to see like ongoing resistance. And I wouldn't even say resistance. Like she even says, I think at one point she's like, you're bullying me. She says like, I don't want to be around people that make me feel bad. And like, you just basically start to see this whole tension like bubble up around someone who has clearly maybe gone through a particular transformation. At that time, she was like trying to go to church more, talking about her pastor and also talking about like therapy and trauma, which is something that previously in like much older episodes, the family don't really, they don't really talk about therapy. They don't really have the most supportive view of it. Obviously, like I say, my biggest disclaimer with all of this is that as much as we get a lot of footage from things like docu-reality, we don't know everything, right? So I'm using this as, think of this as like an analysis that you would kind of do in like English or drama class with the information presented. This is not me making an assumption about knowing more or less. These are kind of the summaries that are gleaned from the information that we've got with us today, like that we have to hand. So she's pushing back and, you know, getting all this stuff around like, you don't work hard, you don't do anything, like, and just kind of starting to be like ousted a little bit. And the comments and the viewpoints and whoever's side that people are on social media, it varies quite a lot. And all I will say is that as an older sibling, I really have to say free Courtney, because for me, I think that there are many layers to this, but an angle of it, and I kind of touched on it in the Succession episode with Connor, is that as an older sibling, it definitely feels strange when a younger sibling is kind of asserting that type of authority over you. And I can imagine that feels disconcerting, especially when, as an older sibling, for the most part, you have maybe had to shoulder things that your other siblings haven't even seen. And Connor really highlighted that in Succession. And I think to an extent, with the information that we're given on the show, like Courtney was like, you guys say that I don't want to show my life, I don't want to film, but the first few years were her turbulent relationship with Scott. The first few years, we literally saw her pull her first child out in her own labor. Like, that's all recorded. So it's interesting to, you know, hear this narrative of like, don't want to work, lazy, when actually a lot of the turmoil, a lot of the drama, a lot of the screen time was on her, you know, and no, we don't know the toll that that's taken. And I think that happens with a lot of older siblings. Like, you don't, you sometimes feel like your younger siblings, they don't know what you've seen. Now, I think that is probably different for me because I'm like a few years older than my siblings. I guess my only thought is also like, this is probably also what happens when on some levels with Courtney, you're the oldest one, but you're not because you're like a year apart. And they've mentioned other things like someone wore someone's jeans to school and the other person like burst into class and told her to take them off. Like they've always had this like, it's kind of a little bit like Jacob and Esau. And I did not even plan to say this, but it's like, if you know the story of Jacob and Esau in the Bible, it's this whole idea of like one person trying to assert themselves and the younger one kind of like usurping their position. And I just think that inherent, the fact that that's even something that happens so early on in the Bible, it probably gives us an insight into just that natural dynamic that happens. So Jacob and Esau, they're actually twins. And even in the womb, there was that kind of dynamic. And I think it's interesting to reflect that back onto Kim and Courtney, because there's also this dynamic of like siblings that are very close in age, that look alike and meshed together in business. And one is now growing and trying to live a more mindful and more balanced life and is like kind of being like pulled, and then also being told that, you know, I'm the one that brings in the money, I'm the one that does this, you're not interesting to look at, all these things. And I just think, what does that kind of do to a person? And for me, the key point in this is that evolution, because what happens in every system is that a system is all fine, whether a system is functional or dysfunctional, even if it's the worst system in the world, if everyone's participating in it, there's no conflict. The minute that one element of that system starts to evolve, starts to go against the grain, starts to challenge the status quo, the whole system becomes really inflamed. And I think that's what we're seeing. And that's why I kind of gave the context of the fact that at one point, potentially, like Courtney was more part of operating as part of the group and has now gone through whatever life experiences that she's gone through, where she's trying to kind of do things for herself, which she actually says in the show, and kind of develop as a person. And now the whole system's like up in flames. And I think that tension is something that even if you don't have a sibling who's 1 year apart from you and all the exact same elements of the challenges that they face as siblings, I think that when you're in a position of evolution, you can sometimes end up becoming the villain in other people's stories. You know, people are used to seeing you behave one way and suddenly you've evolved. So sometimes people will say things like, oh, you think you're better than us, or you don't hang around with us anymore, or you've changed. Obviously, that's like a big one, right? You've changed. And there may be other things. And probably as I'm speaking, I can imagine that some of you might be remembering like certain things that maybe family members have said to you, et cetera, et cetera. And that tension of being like, yeah, basically becoming the villain in someone else's story and becoming the person who's like the lazy one, doesn't want to work, or is not being part of the group, or is not supporting the family. You're actually finally probably putting yourself first when you've had this clarity, you've had this evolution that actually this is the moment where I want to do something different. And I think it's okay to change and evolve, but systems and groups struggle with that. They struggle with that a lot. And all because they're struggling, I don't think it means that you should stop. And I think that while both of them have, you know, both of them are right and wrong in different ways, I don't really have a viewpoint on whose side I'm on, because again, I understand that this is siblings, there's so many layers. I feel like I clearly see Courtney's point of view, and I'm very happy for her to be able to start to go on this journey of like self-determination, for better or for worse, and whether other people like it or not. Because when you're able to do that and do things on your own terms for yourself, and we'll talk about doing things on your own terms in a bit. And I feel like, again, if this isn't your first podcast that you've listened to, you probably know that that's a phrase that I use all the time. I have a free training, which is like how to live life on your own terms. If you've not listened to it yet, it's in the newsletter. So I'll link you to all of that stuff in the show notes. But that is, to me, that's the key to life. Part of life is, like I always say, it's becoming the person that you were before other people's expectations got put on you. So for that, I'm like, you know what? As I said at the beginning, Free Courtney, it's worth it to be the villain, to be the one who kind of goes through the being ousted, if it's going to save your sanity in the process. It's worth it. It may not be easy, it may come with a cost, but in my view, it's definitely worth it. Sometimes the call to strip yourself of the hindrances that hold you back are coming from inside the house. They're coming from the familial house. And it's tough, you know, not everyone's gonna like it. There'll probably be tears on both sides. There'll be frustrations. But for me, freedom is a price that I personally believe is worth paying for. And ultimately, as I always say, you know, when you go to sleep at night, no one, literally no one, no matter how close they are to you, is the person that has to kind of live with the results of all your decisions. So even if they're painful, I've always had this like stance, probably for at least like 10 or 12 years, that I'd rather make decisions knowing that it was my decision, even if it doesn't work out, than trying to do something that someone expected me to do and having to live with the fact that I've kind of been inauthentic or live with the results. Feel like I'm living someone else's life. When you make decisions based on other people's kind of expectations or what they think you should be doing, you start living a life that they've prescribed for you. And that's not what anybody is called to do. Any adult, anyone who kind of has their own agency, that's not what we're here for. And I feel like that's such a tragedy in life when we're unable to unlock that. And I guess a big part of the mission of this podcast and the conversations that we have is trying to find the tools and the reminders to help you kind of unlock that. I'm going to just say this disclaimer like really carefully, just because it may not be clear. So let's just say it before we continue, that I'm definitely not advocating cutting people off, cutting ties, burning bridges, rejecting people, letting people down. It's such a fine line, right? There's a fine line between continuing to serve people, and we'll talk about it in a bit actually, serving people and doing what's right, and also being able to like preserve yourself as well. We always use this example in society, which is like, you need to put on your oxygen mask before you help other people. But sometimes when it comes to certain types of relationships, familial ones, romantic ones, suddenly people forget that. And they feel like they're a bad person for being able to protect their own sanity, their own clarity, their sanity, their peace of mind. And it's like, if someone is doing things that erode that, you have to also ask yourself, are they actually being loyal to you as your partner or as your family member? They're not either, right? They're doing something that's continually eroding at your clarity, at your mental and physical well-being. And you've probably expressed that in some way and things haven't changed. And that's when you have to put yourself first. You need to put your own oxygen mask on first as well. And this kind of connects to probably, this even feels like a bit more deep and profound for me, which is the Kyle Richards on Real Housewives, mainly because, we'll get into the story, I have to give you the context, because I don't think that I had ever really sympathized with her before. I don't think I had really understood, and I think where she's at right now in life has really opened my eyes to this whole concept around, like I said, self-determination, sometimes being like the villain, quote unquote, in someone else's story, and just being able to self-actualize. That's to self-actualize and just to let go of all the expectations that are kind of around you. So very, very quick backstory, and I'll still add all the details just so you can catch up if you don't watch it. So basically, Kyle Richards is one of the housewives on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and she's been on the show from the beginning. So it's been like 13 years or something like that. It's been a long time. And at the beginning, her sister was also on the show with her, one of her sisters. I'll explain that shortly. And in this 13th season, for the last couple of seasons, her other sister, Kathy Hilton, Paris Hilton's mom, has also been on it as well. And you start to kind of see all their sibling dynamics. But I'm actually not going to talk about sibling dynamics yet. I'm going to talk about the fact that in the summer, it was announced that her and her husband were separated. And for people who watch the show, they've always been kind of that dream couple. They were like an amazing couple people really liked and people were really rooting for them. So it came as a shock. And I don't really follow that many like gossip things. And I always just take them, I listen, but I take them with a pinch of salt. But when I watched the first episode of this new season, which I think you should watch, if you haven't watched Real Housewives, you should message me on Instagram and I'll tell you where to start, because you are in for the time of your life, especially if you're already finding, especially this podcast episode, like quite interesting. But yeah, so we meet her and her husband and they're having a conversation about her getting a tattoo. And he's like, how many tattoos do you have? I didn't even realize you had that many. And she's like, you should pay attention to me then. Like, how did you not know? And in the confessionals, so those are like the interviews that they do after they've shot, where they reflect on a particular scene. She says this thing. She says this quote, which to me is very, very profound. She says, I'm in a point in my life where I don't have to explain to anyone, including you. She's talking about her husband. I went from doing everything my mom told me to do to being a mom myself. And I just realized that you can do all of that and things will go to insert expletive there. When she said that, I was like, you know what? I'm really happy for her. I'm really happy for her to go on this new journey of trying to figure out and navigate what life looks like when you don't do all the things that people told you that if you do this, and if you're just a good girl, and if you're just a good mom, and if you're just a good wife, life will be fine. Because she did all those things. She was the good sister, and we'll go into the good sister. She was the good wife. She was trying to people please, essentially, and realized that people pleasing got her nowhere. So now she's in this phase of like getting extra tattoos. She has a new friend that she's been, you know, following around, and you guys can Google all the gossip that's associated with that. And in that scene where she's saying the thing about the tattoo to her husband, he says, you know, well, don't rebel. And she says, I'm not rebelling. I'm just doing what I need to do. Now, we don't know how long this season of her, like, she's also been working out a lot. We don't know how long this season of, like, working out and being friends with Morgan is going to last. And to be honest, I think that I'm personally like, that's fine. Because when you've come out, she's, you know, in her late 40s or early 50s. When you've come out of five decades of living this life of like people pleasing or buying into these aspirations that people tell you that you should want, when you've broken out of that, it might take, you might have a phase where you just throw yourself into something completely different. And for me, when she said that, I was like, now I understand these changes that people have been talking and blogging about for literally over a year. And I don't want to sensationalize them. I just want to accept that she's really finding her new footing in this new life. And I think that's a good thing. When she said that, I also understood why her sisters, and I think she says actually in the episode, she says, you know, after everything that happened with my sister last year, I just realized that everything had to change. And those two things happening at the same time, and this is sometimes what happens in life, by the way, like one situation in another area, so for example, in her marriage, will trigger or open up a mirror to the other negative or like challenging themes that are happening elsewhere. So in her relationship with her family members, in the relationships with her sisters. And so here's what she says about her sister. Let's start there, right? So for context, she is the youngest daughter and she has two older sisters. And she's talking about her eldest sister, Kathy. She says, I've had so many incidents where my sister called me and lost her temper. When the phone would ring and I see her name, I get sheer panic. I know I'm an adult, but it affects me like a child. I also thought this was very, like, self-aware. And it sounded like, who knows, it sounded like she started to, like, do some therapeutic work around it. But anyway, I'm not going to kind of speculate. Like I always say, let's go with the information that's been presented to us. But yeah, so... okay, so now, like, think about what I said before about, like, the order of things. The older sibling used to being in charge and now feels, like, usurped by the younger child, right? So I gave that example with, like, Courtney being the oldest, but Kim is always kind of has this energy of, like, I'm the boss. I can imagine that's, like, a bit frustrating, right? Well, for me, anyway, I should just speak for myself. If it was me, I'd find it frustrating. And now let's contextualize that with Kyle, the youngest, right? And her elder sister, Kathy. So Kathy has had, by the sounds of it, she's always had these, she's been able to, for so long as the older sister, be able to shout at her sister or set rules and just like make all these arbitrary expectations, and her sister would just desperately fall in line. Like, remember what she said about trying to please people, trying to always be that person, right? So that's been the order for 50 years. And suddenly, because it basically becomes too much, which I think also happens when things get amplified on TV. Like I said, as much as we say that that reality TV is fake, what you can't hide is you basically put yourself on blast, because things that you think are subtle, the audience is watching them and is like, that is obvious that, I don't know, that Kathy's being unreasonable or that Kyle is obsessed with kind of pleasing her older sister, whatever those things may be. And as a side note, I'm always like, this is why I would love to have a video of my life, not in front of the whole world, because as much as I have like a podcast and I have open social media profiles, I'm actually really private and I would hate to be on like a show like that. But I would love to be able to watch myself back, because I wonder if the things that I think I'm handling well, like, you know, for example, let's say you're like offended that someone's done something and you think you've handled it really well. Some stuff is like glaringly obvious. And I would just wonder, I wonder what it would be like to watch myself, basically, because we can never do that. And I think that's also another thing that I love about like reality TV, because you get to kind of do that and then it mirrors your own life. Well, you can look for the mirrors in your own life. And so yeah, like I said, natural order of things. So Kathy gets to do what she wants, arbitrary, harsh to her sisters, all that kind of stuff. That's fine. And then now Kyle is self-determining and basically goes through a really bad period last season where Kathy kind of had one of her outbursts and suddenly Kyle was like, you know, it's just too much for me. And I'll link the different scenes where you see like Kyle crying. And Kathy's just like, well. And I mentioned their other sister in the middle, right? I mentioned Kim. And way back in season one, there's like a very iconic scene where Kim, the middle sister, says to her younger sister, Carl, like, you stole my house. And the context there is basically like, again, spoiler alert, if you're about to watch it, I would say go and watch the season before you continue to listen. But she says that because Kim, the middle sister, there's lots of Kims in this episode. Kim, the middle sister, was a really successful child actor in Hollywood and was basically able to create financial security for her family as a child, which comes with its own whole levels of trauma that we cannot get into in this episode. But as a result of also being in Hollywood, she suffers with alcohol abuse and addiction. And we don't know that when this scene comes up, but it eventually is revealed in this same scene. So she's saying, you stole my house. And Kyle was like, do you know how much I've done for you? Do you know how much me and my husband have done to support you? And now you're accusing me of stealing your house. And she just says it clearly, black and white. She's like, you're an alcoholic. And by the way that it was said, it was obviously clear that they didn't want that to come out. So it's really tense and it's really transformative and like really deep scene. And the reason why I'm mentioning it, though, is because we start to get a picture, like I said, into the order of things. So now back to Kyle. So Kyle is the youngest. So obviously sometimes youngest siblings, they tend to get bossed around in general, right? Your middle sister was basically the breadwinner of the family at age like six, but also struggles with substance abuse in a way that, and I think anyone who has experienced people that suffer with substance abuse or any kind of other issues that are very difficult to manage, and I've seen that in my own life. It's very hard to always try and help and cover someone who has issues that are outside of your scope of expertise. It's really hard. You're trying your best and it's like being a brick wall. It's a lot. You give up a lot of yourself to try and make things work. So she's got that in her middle sister. And then in her older sister, she's got this kind of slightly more powerful, domineering character who all three of them have this culture of secrecy and don't say things and keep everything quiet, which becomes another point of contention because Kyle starts to be more open naturally with the show and they kind of hate it. So you can imagine she spent all these years now, right? 40 something years covering for her middle sister, being in this culture of silence. She was also like a young mum, so she probably had a lot of responsibilities for her children and all of those things, and you realize that I'm still at my late 40s, my sister's still calling me and I still get anxiety. I still feel betrayed. I still feel like things aren't what I expected. I did all of that. I was subject to all of that. And where has it gotten me? And I can see that frustration in her. And that's why I'm kind of like, you know what? I'm happy for her. I'm proud of her that, you know, she's got to a point where she's like, you know what? I'm going to just do stuff for myself. Like I said, we don't know how long the phase of like this friend Morgan or going to the gym and like over-exercising and stuff is going to last, but I can start to see her try and negotiate and figure out what's next in my life. And I think for me, like on a personal level, that's why I've been so comfortable with confrontation in my life, because I just understand the principle. And like I said, I am private, but I understand the principle that if you don't have the difficult conversations, they're going to come out anyway. They're going to spill over at some point. You can only pretend for so long. You can only sweep stuff under the rug for so long. And I put this, I mentioned on my story that we were going to do the next podcast episode about this. And one of my friends replied and said, yeah, but I don't love the way that Kyle is so public about all their family issues. And I get it. And I agree to an extent, but I also understand that when someone doesn't have somewhere to have an outlet and have these honest conversations and express in the right way in their family, in these safe spaces, it's going to come out somewhere else. And this is why I don't believe in like sweeping stuff under the rug and secret keeping, because as much as you hide in over there, it's going to come out over here and it's going to be extremely messy. And I think the stories of Courtney and Carla are kind of examples of what happens when you start to self-determine, you start to live life on your own terms, you step out of previous life traumas or the expectations of other people, and it comes at the cost. As we can see that cost being played out, we can see the friction that's coming out between these families. But what I do know is that in order to elevate, in order to become a more free version of yourself, sometimes things have to break. And It's interesting because when I was reflecting on this and I was thinking about like doing this podcast episode, I was thinking to do something new, things have to break. And it reminded me of, and it's crazy that I can connect these dots, but this is just how my brain works. And it reminded me of the Bible. It reminded me of Luke 5, the whole concept of new wineskins and old wineskins. So I'm going to read the verse and then I'll explain. So very quickly, it says, the Pharisees said to him, like, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so did the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours, to Jesus, go on eating and drinking. And Jesus says, like, can you make friends of the bridegroom fast when he's with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and in those days they will fast. And then he tells this parable and he says, no one tears a piece out of a new garment and patches it into an old one, right? No one takes new elevation. Jesus didn't say this, this is me. No one takes a new moment. No one takes evolution and adds it back to the old way of doing things. Otherwise, they'll have a torn garment and then the new patch won't match the old. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and the wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for they say the old is better. I thought this was really interesting because I think for like Jesus as a person, like his whole life was like going against the status quo and what was like religiously or like morally acceptable at the time. And it really, again, reflects on this whole thing of like evolution and doing something new. You can't force, you can't retrofit like the new person that you're developing into old systems. And there's so much in there. Like we could do a whole conversation about, you know, the expectations that they were supposed to fast and not eat and not drink for ages and have this like appearance of piety and this appearance of purity. And Jesus is like, there's going to be a time for that. Don't worry. Like there's going to be a time where they need to do that, but now's not the time. And I think that's the key, knowing that sometimes you're actually just in a season of life, like Kyle is in right now, where it's you time. Sometimes you just need it. We don't get it enough. Sometimes you're just in a season of life where it's about you and it's worth it because you're evolving into a new space and you cannot fit new wine into old wineskins. So back to my conversation with my friends at the beginning of this episode. I won't lie, I was anxious when I was thinking about these sibling relationships. And I was like, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to have some big falling out? And, you know, only God knows. And I spoke to my friends about it and we were just chatting and we were like, what is the reason here? And I think definitely as you get older, we're like, my siblings are under 30. It's like, as you get older, when people have, you know, when money and marriages or the lack of money and the lack of marriages are involved, you level the playing field of competition. And that's like a natural progression of life, right? Because the gap between like a 25-year-old and a 35-year-old feels very different from like maybe a 55-year-old and a 65-year-old in terms of like the lifestyle that they live and what they've accrued in life and how that shapes how they like live and behave. And I think the takeaway for me was just that being able to cultivate contentment from a young age is really important, because then that comparison and that competition becomes less of a like stronghold. It becomes less of a like significantly life altering, relationship ruining thing. And on the flip side, I think, and this is probably trickier, but this whole thing of like resentment, I think there can be a lot of resentment that comes when people have put themselves where you have not served yourself for so long that you're just like, you don't even know what I've done for you. You don't know all this stuff. And that, and you start to have kind of entitlement and expectations about the people, how the people who you've done things for should treat you. And sometimes those people never asked you to do that. Sometimes neither of you had a choice, especially if you're like siblings. Sometimes you're a function of your parents. And we've not even got into parenting on this, because otherwise like this podcast would be even longer than it already is. And understanding that with every sacrifice, with every expression of like love comes sacrifice, which is normal. You're always, in all relationships, you're always going to do stuff for people that maybe they don't notice or that they don't realize like how much it took for you to do that. But being okay with that from the outset rather than killing yourself to do it and thinking, oh, I'm going to get a reward one day, because you might not. That's just how some relationships work. Like sometimes you don't, because, for example, people don't know. I think this happens a lot with parents as well. Children will be like, well, I didn't ask for you to be born. And parents are like, you don't know what I did for you. And I think there has to be an element of like letting go and giving freely, which obviously is extremely challenging, but it's something that we're all called to do. Obviously, the example and like Jesus giving freely, we can, there's a whole thing in that. This podcast has so, so many layers. But yeah, I mean, if I could sum it up in like a couple of points, I would say, you know, it's being one, generous enough to give to others freely, but loving yourself intentionally, but to loving yourself enough to like identify where your boundaries are, just so that you don't kind of basically burn yourself out. And also being able to, three, like, give without keeping score, because I think that's part of it, right? If you've kept score, then suddenly you have this expectation that something's coming back to you, and it may not, and you may be disappointed. So yeah, that's it for this week's episode. Bit of a longer one, but there's lots of context to explain. I would love to hear what you guys think. I really want to know, actually, if your opinion on any of those relationship or sibling dynamics has changed based on this podcast, or if there's been anything in your life that you've thought, actually, I need to look at this with a new, with fresh eyes. I need to let something go. I need to stop having this expectation. I need to start putting my oxygen mask on first. And yeah, I think there's so many layers to it. So we have literally touched on like reality TV. We touched on the Bible. We've touched on personal development. There's a lot going on. But, you know, welcome to the world. If you follow me on Instagram, you know that that's just how we roll. And yeah, thanks for listening. All the good stuff as always. Follow on social media. Let me know your feedback in the comments. We're on YouTube now as well. Those of you that like watching episodes. So yeah, I will speak to you guys on the next episode.